Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the pretty weather. Thank you for Mom and Dad and my brother and sister. Thank you for giving me food to eat and clothes on my back and a roof over my head. Thank you for Grammy and Grampy, and please bless them as they go to visit Uncle Bob next week. Give them traveling mercies. Please forgive me for my sins and help me to be better. Amen. It's the same thing over and over again. Every day I put on my makeup, put on my mask, say my pretty words, and I pray the same thing. I'm sick of it. I don't feel that in here. It doesn't feel pretty in here. It doesn't feel nice in here. Do you want to hear that? I mean, my marriage is okay. You know, he's not going to walk out on me or anything, but we need help. And my kid's doing bad in school, and I have a horrible relationship with my father. Life is just a mess, and all this junk, why does it happen? You know what? I don't really need to know why it happens, I guess. But if I come to you, if I tell you about it, will you just touch my heart? Will you just let me know it's going to be okay somehow? Give me peace. You know, just fill me with your love. Thank you for listening. Amen. Dear Jesus, I just want to pray for those poor, starving souls in Africa. Lord God, that you would just fill their bellies. Oh God, just work in their lives, God. And my heart is so sick for those poor souls in the inner city. God, go there and touch their lives. God, thank you for your missionaries who are sacrificing their comfort and their safety to work and to serve you, Jesus. Oh, God, I just pray for those less fortunate, Lord, and those who are sick, that you would heal them, God. I pray. Oh, I can't pray enough. I can't do enough, though I try. So I will continue to fast and pray, God. You go. You go and do your work. You go and heal and touch out there in the world. That's baloney. There are people right here who need help, right in front of me. There are co-workers and friends and family and people who sit next to me in church that I can help. God, give me the strength and the wisdom. Open my eyes to the things that are right in front of me that I can do. Put feet to these words. I do pray for your missionaries, and I praise you for them. And I do pray for the people who are hungry and the people who are hurting, that you will heal them. But help me to go to work. Help me to give a hug or make a meal. Or lend a listening ear. Help me to be like you, Jesus. Amen. Dear Father God, Almighty in heaven, I praise your name this morning, for you are Almighty, and I praise you for your glories. Thank you, God, for blessing me with wealth and abundance, your humble, humble servant. Oh, God, I pray that you would just help me to bestow on those who have so little. Help me to help them. And, God, may they get off their butts and get a job so that they can earn their keep. Oh, God, withhold your fury from those oh-so-deserving sinners. God, hold back your wrath for those who truly deserve it. You know, those depraved, the idolaters, the gossipers, the morally unclean. Oh, Lord God, and those hypocrites who sit in the pews on Sunday, Lord, and blaspheme your name on Monday. Dear God in heaven, I pray that you would convict them in their hearts and that you would bring them to repentance. My mask! I need my mask! I need to, don't look at me. I am the undeserving. I am the depraved. to try to cover it up. But every day I judge your people, God. I dare to use your name with the worst of intentions. Oh, God, help me. Help me. Save me from myself, Lord. I need to be cleansed. I need to be made new. Fill me with your spirit and love, God. Good only comes from you, and I need you. Father, I have sinned. I am a sinner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day.
Melissa, thank you for revealing us to us today. For reminding us that our spirituality and our prayer life is often filled with masks. And it sets the table well for us to have a conversation this morning about what it means to be people who pray and not just talk about prayer. People who desire prayer, but who too often fail at praying. Thought a lot about prayer over the last couple. We've had this on the calendar now for several months. And I tell you, it's been a difficult week and kind of a difficult journey. Certainly a difficult couple of days to once again feel confident about prayer, speaking, sharing about prayer. But here's what I want us all to hear today as we sit here. The final words that Melissa said in her monologue are true. We are all fallen. We all have struggles. We all have issues. And few of us, if any of us, have figured out God. Few of us have figured out everything there is to know or how to communicate with Him through prayer. So we sit here as common sojourners on this journey of communicating with an Almighty. We're temporary, He is Almighty and eternal, and we are all sitting in the same seats today. That's what our understanding has to be right out of the gate. We are all sitting here with lots of questions, sometimes even a little bit of guilt. You know, they say that prayer really is just like talking to a good friend. Forget that you're talking to the creator of the universe, right? Talk to God like He's just your friend sitting next to you, your neighbor across the way. Have you ever stopped to evaluate any prayer you've ever offered and ask yourself, did that sound like I was just talking to a friend? Yes, Brent, I seek you every day. No, that doesn't sound like I'm talking to a friend. Right? There are words that we think we need to say in prayer that don't sound like we're communicating to a friend. And why should we communicate to God like He's a friend when He is the Creator? Where's our reverence? Should there be more reverence in prayer? Or should it be a common language? This spring I began to read a book by an author known as Richard Foster. Many of you maybe have heard of him. Some of you maybe have been brave enough to read some of his works. His book on prayer is what will kind of be the framework for this three-part sermon series that's looking at prayer from the vantage point of inward, then upward, and then outward. And so today we're going to start this conversation on prayer by looking at ourselves, this very cut-to-the-chase moment of asking ourselves to remove masks, to be honest and forthright, and desiring to have a better understanding of what true prayer, true connection with God really looks like. Today, we cannot look any further than the end of our own nose in trying to understand what prayer can and will mean for you. really, you sit alone in being able to answer the questions that I will pose today. What does prayer mean for you? How does it play out in your life? This weekend, for those of you who may be friends with me on Facebook, you may have noticed a post that I posed a question. What is your greatest frustration with prayer? What is the thing when you think about prayer that brings the greatest amount of frustration? And I was anticipating a lot of, he doesn't answer, I don't hear his voice, he doesn't answer the way I want him to, and there was several of those. But I was intrigued by another common thread that was woven through those responses. And that common thread was the thread of guilt that was not placed on God, but placed on me. I don't pray enough. I don't pray unless I really am in a pickle. Maybe some even said I pray X amount, like I'm checking it off of a list, you know? And is it really meaningful to do it that way? There was a lot of focus on our side of the prayer equation in the responses. And it began to make sense to me that that probably is some of our greatest worries. Do I pray correctly? Do I say the right words? Do I pray enough? Should I pray more? Do I pray too much? Where should I pray? How should I pray? All of those questions are focused on me. And part of our conversation, the fabric of our conversation today is going to be challenging you to look inside yourself, your motives, your doubts, and your questions as it relates to prayer. With the ambition that hopefully we, as a body of believers, a group of people, a church, can begin to shed off the guilt that we've put on ourselves because of some standard of prayer that we've come to believe. I believe that guilt causes us not to pray more than it causes us to pray. I believe that guilt, as it relates to prayer, is not of God, but of our own doing, of our own mind. And it's that guilt that I would really like for us to be able to see past, really be able to look beyond and work through, so that when we come before the Almighty God, we can have a better sense of confidence that's built on Him, knowing that He hears us, knowing that He actually cares, knowing that He's actually listening. So as we get started today and we think about these ideas of prayer, let's just take a moment to kind of define what we mean by prayer. I think commonly we would say that prayer is this moment in which we begin to give God our Christmas lists, right? Where we begin to give all of these requests. One of Melissa's moments was praying for all these various things. And when we think of prayer, probably the first thing that comes to mind is when we are praying for something. Foster defines prayer in a broader sense, and one that I think is actually more accurate. He defines it as the intimate, ongoing interaction with God. The intimate and ongoing interaction with God. And what I love about this definition of prayer is that it's not confined to a type of words that are said or a type of structure that is said, but it's more relational. This definition of prayer speaks to how we are relationally weaving ourselves with the Almighty God. You might be able to answer the question, how do I interact with my friends? What are the things I do with my friends? A lot easier than you can say, what do you talk about your friends with? True? I know for me, it's a lot easier for me to say, this is what I enjoy to do with a group of people. This is how I interact with the church. This is how I interact with my friends. This is how I interact with my wife or my children. Than it is to come up with, and maybe this is a guy thing, but then to come up with, this is how I talk to them. Prayer may be more about the things we do with God and how we interact with Him relationally than the actual words that come out of our mouth. And my question for us today is, what if we could consider prayer to be more of a daily mindset, a moment-by-moment mindset, versus some type of incantation or words we use or a speech or maybe even a book that we read, because sometimes it's helpful to have printed prayers to kind of guide us along? What if prayer wasn't about the right words or the right posture? What if it was like this, that when you wake up in the morning, one of the first things that you have that crosses your mind is thanksgiving for life and a realization that your journey, as difficult as it may be, is not as bad as some? That there are blessings in your life that you can begin your day with right then and there. And you allow your mind to even correlate a list, so that no matter how dark your clouds are, your blessings begin to blow those clouds away. How about when you get your children up out of bed, for those of us who have children that we still need to wake up? And instead of being frustrated with how their room smells or how it's not organized, or they didn't do what you had asked them to do the night before over here, or there's their homework and it's not done, you look at that life and you, for the first moment, are thankful for the health that they have. Or you're focused on the joy that they bring you and offer you. So all of a sudden, it's a mindset of how you're interacting with the blessings that God has given you, and you're communicating with God about those blessings. How about when you're driving to work with all the patience in the world because you left 10 minutes early? Your mind drifts towards God's provisions, and your thoughts are directed toward those lives that you'll intersect with today. And you begin to think about, I wonder if I'll see Jim today. I wonder if I'll see, you know, Rick today. And you put in whatever name there that you work with or would hope to see. And you begin to pray for those people and ask God, help me to be your hands and feet to them today. What if our prayers were more interactions like that, where when we're talking to somebody, even someone we didn't anticipate, all of a sudden we begin think about how we can be Jesus to them. And we begin to pray even as we're in conversation with somebody. Maybe somebody comes to you and they really got a burden and a need, and it becomes very easy. God, help me to speak words of truth to them today. And you go out through your day interacting with prayer as you interact with everyone around you. What about when you lay your head down at night? This is when most of us think about praying. It's because when your mind begins to slow down, you remember you haven't prayed all day. Right? And just so that in case you die of a heart attack in your sleep, you better get that one taken care of. Right? So now I lay me down to sleep. No. You probably have some kind of mental connection with God in that moment. Well, what if you begin to think about your day and begin to see, man, God, I have really enjoyed our interactions today. What if when you laid your head down at night, you could look with so much peace and confidence and say, it has been a pleasure speaking with you today. This whole day, God has been, I've just felt you near me and working in me. And I still don't know what we're going to do about this, and this. But God, I just appreciated your time and attention today. You know, tomorrow's a big meeting, God. Tomorrow is a big day. Tomorrow I meet with a client. Would you just give me the rest and the protection I need so that tomorrow when I wake my eyes, they won't be focused on the big things that are coming my way, but they'll remain focused on you. Good night. That's how it goes in my house. What if our prayers became more like that? Could they? Could we grab a hold of Foster's definition of prayer and consider it to be more of an interaction, an interwoven interaction all throughout the day? It honestly may be what Paul had in mind when he was writing these words in 1 Thessalonians, to be joyful always, and he connects it with pray continually. Maybe when our joy is robbed throughout the day, it's because we stopped talking to the Almighty God. Maybe somehow our joy as believers is robbed when we try to live life on our own and then try to schedule moments of prayer, maybe a couple minutes here, And we don't have this understanding of praying continually. I believe Paul had a good understanding of what it meant to consider the things we can't see, the spiritual nature of our heart, the level of our gratitude, the concern we have for others, those are intangibles, over the things that we can see, which are illness and frustration and depression and broken relationships and joblessness and financial ruin and divorce and addictions and let the tigers win. Right? And those are the things that dominate our prayer life. Instead of stepping back and saying, God, have mercy on me. I am so far from figuring this out. This past week in our Wednesday night boost class, we spent some time looking at Romans chapter 12, a powerful and very challenging chapter of God's scripture. But when I looked back into Romans 8, we spent some time there too. This verse 5 stood out to me. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The Spirit within us sees things differently. It reacts differently. And when we can set our minds on the Spirit of God, we are then connecting with Him. But when our attention is on the meeting and on the tasks and the busyness and the frustrations, then all of a sudden the joy is gone. Our connection with the Almighty is gone. This isn't in my notes, but you may remember a story in Jesus' ministry when He joins the disciples out in a boat. They're already in the boat and a storm creeps up and Jesus was on the shore and He decides to join them by walking on the water. It's quite interesting. Peter, the disciple I identify with the most because he puts his mouth in strangest of places and wishes he could take his words back all the time, says, hey, Jesus, if that's really you, let me join you. And so Jesus says, all right, Peter, let's rock this thing. Come on out. I'll show you what it's like. And so Peter comes out and his eyes are on Jesus and he's walking on water with him. Jesus told us that everything He does, we will do even greater things. And this is the first example we get to see about it. And so he is walking with, but then all of a sudden, his eyes get off of Jesus and he starts realizing this is kind of windy out here. Yeah, it's a big wave coming over here. And you know what? I don't have my little ducky buoy to grab a hold of, you know? This could kill me. This could slam me up against the boat. This is scary stuff. And his eyes began to focus on the turbulence around him, the meeting, the financial bottom line of my business, my marriage that's... All these things that our mind is focused on and constantly praying about and distracted from, really seeing the most important thing, and that's keeping our minds and our eyes set on the Spirit, which is Christ. So today, as we think about and we focus our attention on one element of prayer, I want us to be focused on Christ above all else. But in doing so, we need to do it through being honest with ourselves and looking inward. And being honest about our doubts, being willing to look deep into our soul and acknowledge our frustrations, allowing the Almighty to enter into the very dark corners of our existence, this is the true starting line of prayer. When we allow God in that far. Now, you might think that that seems a little off base or slightly even selfish to start a conversation of prayer about looking inside. But if we don't get this right, and if we're not honest with ourselves, all we're doing is wearing a mask with all the other things. We need to be truthful and honest to the bone about ourselves first. I had this thought, and Dory, it's great to see you today. I was thinking about this when it comes to flying airplanes. One of the things you do as a flight attendant is to tell everybody when the masks come down to serve yourself first and then help others, right? Prayer is just like that. If we can't take care of our own soul first, as good intentions as we have to intercede and help other people, we won't be able to because our soul will be dying. And it's like that on an airplane. If you don't give yourself the access to the oxygen when needed, You might have great intentions of helping others, but eventually you'll fall over. So let's focus on ourselves and be honest with our own spirits for today and allow this to be our starting line as we contemplate prayer. When God created humanity, he saw that it was very good. If you ever are curious about creation, every day God created and he said it was good. But when he got to the sixth day and he created mankind, he said it's very good. So very good that God set time aside to come and mingle with humanity. He began to have walks in the cool of the evening and intersect with man and woman. I believe God looked forward to it. I believe that man and woman did as well. And I don't know what it was like or what it sounded like, but I know that this took place. God and man walking together, being together, nothing separating them because man was without sin. But as soon as that sin entered into our existence and separated us from God, we still had this desire to want to communicate with each other, and prayer became that vehicle. What used to be just like you and I communicate, now all of a sudden the separation took place, and what we needed was something that we've called prayer. But what has happened over years is that we as humans have decided that, I think in many ways, that we need to be very regimented about our prayers. We need to make sure everybody's praying. We need to make sure that they're praying the right things. So instead of prayer becoming this conversation, over the years, we've allowed prayer to become somewhat of a spiritual discipline, which is great. But it's almost taken it to the place of being a spiritual obligation. And I'm not sure that's really what God had intended when he wanted to walk with us in the garden. That you would be obligated to meet me by the oak tree, you know? I believe it was just out of this pure passion that man and God connected. And so today, when we want to connect through prayer, we've made it some formal obligation. Say these words. Kneel on both knees. Some will lay down altogether. Some will face a particular direction. It's all become an obligation. And so I want to spend just a minute of time considering the difference between prayers of obligation and prayers of passion. Just wanting to be with God and hearing from his voice. So listen to these separations, okay? Prayers of obligation are often forced and not from the heart. Prayers of obligation are often driven by guilt and by fear. Prayers of obligation are many times empty attempts to please an over-demanding God in our minds. Prayers of obligation truly are our best attempt to please us, but do very little to please God himself. We're doing it to check something off a list so that I can feel better. Now, the flip side. Prayers of passion are filled with desire and anticipation. Now, I'm not talking about passion like human passion. I'm talking about I just yearn to be in communication with God. I'm passionate about that. Prayers of passion, passionately seeking him, are filled with desire and anticipation. Prayers of passion occupy your mind and influence your words like a brand new love in your life, if you can remember that far back for some of us. Prayers of passion look beyond the dirt and they see only the beauty. They see the what could be in every conversation. Prayers of passion long for the private and intimate words that will stir their soul. Truly, prayers of passion can reach into heavens and they please God greatly. When we come to God out of our own free will, and because we just yearn to hear from him and to speak with him and share our concerns and our burdens and our heartaches with him, that pleases him more than facing a particular direction, kneeling down in a particular way, folding your hands a particular way. Prayers of obligation can be hollow. David wrote in Psalm 51 about the obligatory sacrifices that were plaguing his people and what God may truly desire when he wrote these words, "You do not delight in sacrifice or the obligations of our past, or I would bring it," he says. "You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart that you, O God, will not despise." It's the heart right here that God is most concerned with in our prayers. It's not the words. It's not that they sound right. It's not that they're the right length. It's that our heart is aligning itself with the heart of God at the moment in which he asks us to do so. Can you imagine seeking moments out with God like you could anticipate moments with your best friend or maybe your marriage partner or maybe some special friend in your life? Have you ever just really had this anticipation to be with someone, to share something with that person? Have you ever had that kind of feeling as it relates to prayer? I cannot wait to tell God about this. I cannot wait to ask this question about this. I just anticipate speaking with him that much. Guys, you know, that was maybe a little feminine for you. So let's think about it this way. Is there a guy you love to hunt with? Is there a guy you just cannot wait to get up and play some ball with? Is there a friend, a brotherhood that you just, you know, you get together and you play golf together and it just feels so right? And you cannot wait for the next time that you get to spend time with that other guy, not because it's, you know, but because you find so much in being in relationship with that person, challenging you as a man. Our society has ruined. Hear me. Our society does not value and has ruined men being in relationship with men. Your chuckles were expected. I was on the inside because I didn't want to say the word, so I just left it out there for you to think about. What I love the most about the movie that I want you all to come and see at 4 o'clock today is five men who figured out that their lives are stronger together. So I wanted to talk about the differences because women, you get the understanding of yearning and anticipation. And guys, sometimes we think we might struggle with that, but we have that longing inside too. Can you see yourself wanting to communicate with a God like that? That's intimate and ongoing interaction with a loving, almighty, powerful God. It's liberating, not guilt-driven. It's honest, not fake. It's genuine, not refined. These are important distinctions. Not driven by guilt. It is not fake. And it doesn't have to sound right. But it does liberate us. It needs to be heartbreakingly honest and incredibly genuine. Foster gives us four different models of prayer. Actually, he gives six or seven in the first section. I want to go over four quickly. The first is simple prayer. For us to understand inward type of praying and focused on the inside of who we are, we need to understand simple prayer. Simple prayer is when we eliminate the standards by which you have always measured prayers. And you just stop thinking. And you just start letting the words flow from your mind and flow from your heart and just come out of you. This is simple prayer. No structure, just talking to God. Thinking about God, focusing on God. You stop asking, what should I pray and who should I pray for? And you just allow God to work through you. Simple prayer. No judgment, nothing. The most powerful prayer recorded in Scripture in my mind is not the one we've recited together. It's the one from the brokenhearted. The tax collector said today, God, have mercy on me. Some looked at Jesus and said, help me. Some looked at Jesus and didn't even get a word out, and he still forgave them. Those are powerful prayers. They're simple prayers. They're not flowery and they're not wonderfully orchestrated. They're just from the heart, and that's exactly what we're talking about. It could sound like this: Jesus, do you really listen? Can you really hear me? I'm so sorry that I keep messing up my life. I feel like I'm constantly living in such regret. Can you help me? I promise I'll get better. I promise next time I'll turn it over to you sooner. But right now I really need you to help me fix this. I love you, God, and I don't know how or why you would love me in return. That's a simple prayer that comes from the heart. Our second prayer is a prayer of questions. Foster actually calls this the prayer of the forsaken, but I would like to just call it the prayer of questions. It's when we come and we feel like our words are incredibly empty, where we feel that God is distant, at least quiet. There is no answer. We knock on the door and the door seems to be locked and it's not coming open. The ancient writers used to call this dies absentitus. It is when God is absent. And it's a frequent issue for many of us, where we sit here and we pray and we feel like we're getting nowhere and God is not there. And so we ask questions like the psalmist in Psalm 88 did. I've had my fill of trouble. I'm camped on the edge of hell here. I'm written off as a lost cause, one more static and hopeless case. You've turned my friends against me. You've made me horrible to them. I'm caught in a maze and I can't find my way out. I'm blinded by tears of pain and frustration. Why, God, did you turn a deaf ear to me? Why did you make yourself scarce when I've needed you most? For as long as I remember, I've been hurting. I've taken the worst you can hand out. And I've had it. That is filled with question of where God is. That's honest, forthright, completely transparent questioning of God. And it's a part of the process of praying inward. First, we have simple prayers where we're not focused on our words. Then we turn to the questions that are deep within. And then third, we look at the prayer of personal examination. This is when we try to become more aware of our own actions, our own attitudes, our own motives, and our own awareness of God. Where we stop and say, God, please look deep within me and reveal the things that are getting in the way of me and you. The prayer of examination gives God the key to the lock that surrounds your heart and says, here it is. I want you to go into every room. I want you to check it all out. And I need you to bring things to my attention that I need to address. The goal of this prayer is awareness, self-knowledge, and making holy connections. This is where all the dots begin to align and where we begin to understand that God is speaking to you. And you need to respond. Lord, I want to be the person you designed me to be before sin came in and took control of my life. As I live this day and throughout each moment of this day, make me aware of the things that still exist within me that don't have a place in your kingdom. God, any attitude, any thought, any word, any action, smack me over the head so that I pay attention to your voice over my own. That's the prayer of self-examination. And finally, the prayer of relinquishment. This may be the most important prayer we talk about. We can't get there without going through the first ones. We cannot get to relinquishment without simple prayers and prayers of questions and prayers of self-examination. But we get to relinquishment and we need to understand it is a full and wholehearted agreement with God that it's His way is altogether right and good. It's letting go, but with a deep hope and confidence and trust in the character of God. It is not just letting go and saying, forget it, I'm done. It's saying, I can't do this anymore, it's yours. The prayer of relinquishment is when you come to a place in your life that you realize that God's got it figured out a whole lot better than you have. It's challenging sometimes to think that God has our best interest in mind when turmoil surrounds our life. I know that. It's challenging, and it doesn't seem all that possible to think that God's best for me involves cancer or depression or losing my job. Relinquishing to God would be simple if you could just see the last chapter, the end results. Wouldn't it be simple to relinquish all this to God if we just had a little bit more confidence in what the last chapter of our lives looked like? But that's not how it works. But we are called to relinquish. We are called to give up control. We need to allow God to take what we can see and trust Him with what we cannot. We have to believe deep within us, as people who are trying to understand this process of prayer and who this Almighty God is, that He's got a greater good in store for us than what we know right now. And that the idea that we have that would be awesome if God, if you would just provide this, may really stink in comparison to what He really wants for us. In the Nazarene church, we call this sanctification. What it means to turn our lives over completely to the will of God and allow Him to rule our life in a new way. Where we set ourselves apart to become people that He designed us to be before we started messing it up. The questions I have for you today are, does He have your heart? Does the Spirit of God communicate with you throughout your day? Are you interested in having a relationship with God that's near and dear, closer than a brother? Do you want intimacy with God through prayer? Then we need to start by taking this honest assessment of who we are and knowing that God's shoulders are broad enough and big enough to take our doubts and our questions and our fears and our anger in our lack of understanding. Because it's only when we communicate with Him on an open and honest basis like this that we can truly have a deep and meaningful connection and interaction with Him. It's like our marriages. When we hold back, we get what we put in. But when we can let go and be honest and truthful, though it may sting, and though it may bring you through seasons of frustration, that is where true love is really experienced. And prayer really is all about God spilling His love in you and through you. So this week, in your insert that's in the bulletin, I've challenged you to take 4 days, Monday through Thursday, to think about each one of these prayers. To allow your prayer life to be driven by simple prayer, or prayers of questions, or prayers of examination, or prayers of relinquishment. And I hope that this week you will pray. I hope this week you will look at yourself with honesty, and you'll be transparent before the Lord, and you'll hold nothing back, and that you'll experience Him in the craziest of places, in the strangest of moments, in the deepest of ways. Father, this is Your day. We desire to be Your people. Help us as we pursue what true prayer can be and mean in our life. Help us as we become honest before You. Help us as we look at our own heart and surrender it to You. Speak to us. Speak to us as we find sweet moments to communicate and interact with you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.